right, let's get into it. We're going to talk some AFC West today as we kick off our divisional previews here on episode 34, the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast. Dan Claskins, James Adams, we're back with you, getting you ready for a 2022 like never before. It's going to be a great football season. And man, if you haven't been catching up with all of our podcasts, we've been getting you ready in so many ways, including looking at some of those free agents, talking to schedule, breaking down the rookies, doing some best ball strategies. You can get it anytime at insiderfootball.com. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you listen, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, to name a few. And James, here we are, my friend. The calendar has hit June. We're midway through June now, coming here on June the 13th, Monday. And what a better division to kick off our division previews here than one as riddled with as much fantasy firepower as this new look AFC West.
Yeah, you know, I think we've talked about it a lot in different forms about how this AFC is loaded. It seemed like all the talent that wasn't in the AFC found its way there, the AFC West in particular. And I will say, Dan, I think I mentioned it to you in a previous podcast, but I think the addition of the third wild card team has really gotten every team to say, you know what, all we got to do is get in. And if we get in, we can make some noise. I mean, look what the Bengals did. I know they weren't a wild card team, but I think this has just opened up the idea of no rebuilding, and teams will still do that. But it's created what I think a go always going for it attitude for more teams. And I frankly couldn't love it more. And you're right. This AFC West is that division in a nutshell. And I think their games, right after we watch some Bengals 1 o'clocks or whatever, these 4 o'clock games that are going to be marquee matchups for the late slate are going to be awesome with this AFC West, man.
No doubt about it. We'll go team by team here, player by player. This is the first of 8 divisions we'll preview. So you want to follow along all off season long as we get you ready to kick off. Of course, James and I will be back on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio weekend morning starting in July. And of course, Fantastics, the draft advisor tool coming out later this summer. The tool you need to win, obviously help you with all those drafts. We're already talking keeper decisions. James and I have already had so many drafts. But I'll tell you what, man, we'll use ADP, some of the latest ADP, as we go through these teams, talk about some of their value. And we're even going to get into some future bets, see if there's anything early on we like here. But James, let's start off by looking at the divisional champion, a team that made it all the way to the AFC Championship game a year ago. They've been in that game 3 straight years. And the Kansas City Chiefs, 12-5. Here's a team that certainly had its chances last year, but in many ways, from a fantasy perspective, a little bit of a disappointment in some of the production of its marquee players. A lot of question marks about those complementary pieces as well. And the biggest headline of the offseason, the departure of Tyreek Hill, something we talked about in a little bit of a podcast there, but let's just re-hit that, James, and talk about the impact his loss will have for this offense.
I mean, it's massive. And I think it's funny. I just read something yesterday where the reason he left, he didn't feel like he was being used enough. And I was like, man, he had like 150 targets. So I don't know what's up with that. But it's going to be a massive loss for this team. He obviously can take the top off of a defense unlike any other player. The big arm for Mahomes with his crazy speed means you always have to worry about it deep. But then he can do the comeback route, and he can catch the ball underneath and make insane moves to make big plays too. All of that is gone. I mean, he was a guy who could beat you underneath. He could beat you deep. That's gone. And we wonder what the replacement will be. We're going to talk about some players that have come in to replace him on the depth chart at least. But what will that do for Mahomes? What will it do for that style of offense? What will it do for Travis Kelce, a centerpiece of the fantasy community and the tight end number one over the last, I don't know if it's decade, half a decade maybe?
Yeah, I mean, all things that have to be considered here. And I will say that, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is still under center, and he is a special player with a cannon arm, the mobility, still pretty young. So it's not like the sky is falling here in Kansas City, but they are not the fantasy commodities that maybe they were a couple seasons ago. And we'll look at all of that, James. And let's start with Mahomes himself. I mean, we're looking at latest best ball 10 ADP data, basically in June drafts, where over the course of 52 drafts to be exact. And Mahomes, QB3, in those drafts. He's going right around the end of round three. Obviously, QBs go off a little earlier, maybe in some of these best ball leagues, but that's almost 14 spots behind Josh Allen, a full round plus, but still ahead of guys like Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. I do think that's, you know, when I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes, it's pretty consistent with how I rank him. I'm not sure I want to invest that draft capital in him, though.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair way to say it. I mean, I think we talked about it last year. Quarterback was deep. Seems like quarterback gets deeper all the time. And if you're in a one quarterback league, I just don't find myself going quarterback early very often. So I don't have a problem with what you say there. Not what you say, but what his ADP is. And you're right. He's a special player. He's been fantastic. Even when he misses time, he's throwing for over 4,000 yards every year of his career. He's thrown for a lot of touchdowns over his career, already 150, 151 to be exact, in 4 years, more or less. So the numbers will continually be there. I'm just not sure I'm investing there because, like you said, some of the names he's listed ahead of, I'll take positional scarcity at running back or receiver in that round. So I like where he's being taken. I do agree that he's one of the top quarterbacks, but not necessarily for me this year.
How soon you pulling the trigger in a super flex league on Patrick Mahomes?
He's got to be one of the top five picks.
Yeah,
six picks.
It's certainly rising up the board in a format where you are going to go quarterback early. Mm-hmm. Then
yeah,
and that's the point we want to drive home here is I'm not going to sit here and down mouth Patrick Mahomes or anything, but just most passing yards. I'm looking at some of the futures bets out here right now over at DraftKings Sportsbook, and they have odds out on 38 different quarterbacks. And from a passing yards perspective, Mahomes still second on the list, just behind Justin Herbert, who is the favorite at plus 700. We'll get to him in a minute, but Mahomes at plus 800. So you got to go down to 850 for Tom Brady, Burrow, and Carr, 900 apiece. So three of the top five selections in this division. We'll talk about those others in a minute. But the takeaway here is still expect really solid production out of Patrick Mahomes. It's just, he is not the Superman that he looked like 2 years ago at this time, perhaps in fantasy circles. The biggest guy I want to talk about is the other player that's left of the big three, Travis Kelce. And again, a point we drove home in our last episode of the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast as we looked at what it was meaning for Kelce. And in general, James, I mean, Kelce's an aging player. Certainly a guy that still has enough in the tank to be a fantasy contributor. But going back to that pricey ADP, I'm not sure the price is worth it, right? I mean, Kelce is tight end one right now, and he's gone as high as pick 5 and as low as 34 overall in these 52 drafts we're looking at of best ball 10 since June 1st. And he is tight end one, James, 12.79 ADP. That's on the swing of round one, and I'm just not taking him there. Even in some of these best balls, and I've been in about 20 of them so far, I have ended up with a couple Kelce shares. One of it was just I wanted to try something different. The other one's because he fell well into mid to late round two. At that point, I was willing to pay the price and take my chances, but I don't see myself having a lot of exposure of Kelce. What's your outlook, though, for him in terms of a projection for this season? What do you expect?
He's still got to be your top tier at tight end. You know, if you want to go, oh, Pitts is my guy, Andrews is my guy, okay, whatever. Kelce could be 2 or 3, but he's in the first tier. And, you know, that's what really matters to me. But I would not pay that early price you're saying, as you point out. But my expectation, I mean, man, you got to expect the target volume is going to be humongous. It's been over 120. Really, it's been over 100 since 2015. It's been over 120 since 2017. Those targets aren't going anywhere. They may go up. The question is, what will the quality of the target be? So my expectations are still that Travis Kelce is going to get 1,100 yards. He's going to have 140 targets. And he's going to have 10 touchdowns. Maybe he doesn't get to one of those numbers. I don't know that he has the ability right now to go to 1,400 yards because defenses will have to take a look at him. If Juju or Ronald Jones or MVS or one of these guys that we're yet to talk about all of a sudden comes out of, you know, obscurity into a superstardom like Tyreek Hill was, then maybe Kelce can get to that 1,400, 1,350 number. But I think it's closer to 1,100 and you're hoping for 10 touchdowns.
I think that's fair. I definitely could see him easily getting to 100. And I mean, last year he had 134 targets. So if we are projecting growth there, if he stays healthy, which going into his age 32 season is an if there, but Man, he finished strong last year. I mean, he caught 10 of his 11 targets, 95 yards, a touchdown against the Bengals, had the game-winning touchdown in overtime there against Buffalo. He finished so strong. So I'm going to do a verbal retweet of everything you just said with Kelce. Now you get into those complementary pieces. And before we turn to that running game in Kansas City, let's talk about some of the other things they've added this offseason with the loss of Tyreek Hill. We've talked about rookie Sky Moore. He's in the mix. There's news out that Mahomes is really developing chemistry with the former deep threat of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in Marquez Valdez-Scantling, a newly acquired player. But the biggest chip of the offseason addition, former Steeler Juju Smith-Schuster, James. Here's a guy that when he first came to the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill was still in the picture, and it was like, okay, this is interesting, but where, you know, how's he going to fit in? Now with Hill gone, you talk about those extra targets. This could be a player that is getting quite a few of them. And I know last week I was talking about his high ADP, but that was only in 12 drafts. So it was sort of skewed by just one particular draft that reached for him. But again, a player that is going, you know, more as a back end wide receiver too in the latest best ball tens. And I'm just not so sure I'm ready to put the rubber stamp on that.
But here's the thing. If you're taking a chance at that spot for a receiver, and I know you don't necessarily want to take chances at a back-end wide receiver too, but he's been a wide receiver one before. I know it was a different offense. It was a different time. But he's still a young guy, 25 years old, I think. And what did you say about the passing yardage for this division? Three of the top like six guys in the projections by the Vegas odds are in this division. That screams shootouts to me. So that does scream that he's going to have a ton of target volume. I like taking chances on guys that I think are going to be in offenses that score a lot of points, that produce a lot of yardage. And if Mahomes is still doing that, they're not all going to Kelce. I mean, I just said I think Kelsey's at 1,100. So I'm intrigued with Juju. I know it hasn't been great lately, but I am very intrigued. I mean, I think this is a guy who could be comeback player of the year, bounce back time big time because of the opportunity where he sits in the offense, the players around him.
Fair enough. Let's look at some of the other pieces here in complementing the passing game with these running backs. And you know, just a quick thought on Sky Moore as well. I do think that rookie has upside, but we need to remember he's a rookie. So in season long, you definitely need to be patient. But I do expect big things in the long run, and that could come sometime this season given all the parameters that we've been talking about. But really outside of that, MVS, Juju, Mecole Hardman, no thanks. In best ball, I guess, I mean, you get to a point of a draft you're taking, but I'm just not a believer. I've sort of moved on from him. I'd rather take my chance with Marquez Valdez-Scantling or, you know, even some of the other guys, you know, that might enter the mix that beyond him. I know Justin Ross is a real young player that's getting a lot of talk, but we'll see. But it's really that running game where I think we established last week, we both think given his double-digit round ADP that Ronald Jones is an appealing piece. Certainly a guy that you can add some bench depth with, potential for those double-digit touchdowns if he gets that goal line roll with Darrell Williams gone. But what is your take on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, James? And I mean, he's still so young, but it seems like no player has seen his stock drop further at the position out of that draft class than we've seen Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, my take is, I mean, if I like Jones so much and the price is so good that it doesn't necessarily mean I'm, you know, banking on him being a superstar, but I'm just not in love with Edwards-Helaire right now. A lot of it has to do with, like, not once last year. He had four targets in one game last year. He had three targets or fewer in the rest of them. That's not what I want out of an Andy Reid back. Like, what happened to the days of Andy Reid back catching all the balls in the world? What about the playoff push? Jerick McKinnon was the guy. I mean, at some point, like, you just, to me, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think, was a missed draft pick by this team. He's just, he hasn't done a whole lot for me, but here's the deal. He's going to be involved. So, like, you can't take Ronald Jones and just go, okay, plug him in every week because he's going to play. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be in the way until Ronald Jones takes more of the playing time away from him. But his draft price is not worth it to me, whereas Ronald Jones is extremely worth it.
Yeah. I mean, if he falls far enough, Edwards-Helaire will be a guy I'll put on my roster, but I don't want to count on him as a starter. That's the thing. I can do better for RB2. I'd rather go a little weaker and be more stacked at another position. But
yeah,
durability,
no, I totally agree.
Durability is playing into it a little bit in my head too. I'm just not sure the guy holds up over the long run. So let's get into the next team on the list. So much to talk about here in our Fantastics Insider Football AFC West preview. And we're going to move on to the Las Vegas Raiders. They finished the year 10-7, lost in the wild card round to the eventual AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals, but they have made some coaching changes after, you know, having the intern coach with all that was with John Gruden. Now they got, you know, a whole new future here. And with Josh McDaniels finally, you know, leaving New England after he returned there for a second stint, he finds a team here, James, with a lot of interesting weapons and none bigger than the one they went out and acquired in a trade right before the draft and landing Davante Adams, fantasy wide receiver one. He goes from Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football to Derek Carr. How big of a dip does that mean for his fantasy ranking on your board?
Not a big one. Not a big one at all. He's a go get the ball out of the air guy. Derek Carr is not a terrible player. The rapport is already there. They are good. They're not only good friends, they're former teammates in college. So not a big one. I mean, Davante Adams basically comes away, you know, he's no longer in the top three for me, but he's in the top five. Like, that's barely a change in my estimation.
Yeah. I definitely think the volume's going to be there, right? I mean, He is such a talented player, and you know, with the chemistry, let's not forget, these guys are college roommates. The Raiders, they went all in on Derek Carr this offseason too. They agreed to a three-year, $121.5 million contract extension, and now they have both those guys locked up for the foreseeable future here. Interesting about Carr's extension, no trade clauses in there, and to me, it just really gives this team some long-term stability on offense. And I know from a fantasy perspective, Carr has not been a player that fantasy managers are overly excited about because he doesn't give you that sex appeal of those rushing yards that especially I like with that floor. But I will say, given what we've talked about with this division, and you know, even our draft advisor, James, the past couple of years, including last season when Carr actually did deliver. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you remember last season, the draft advisor was pushing Carr up into QB1 range. And we were talking about it on the show, and guess what? He finished QB12, right? And that is something that I do view him this year really as this back-end quarterback. In best balls, where I waited on quarterback, he was a target. And in season long, I'm going to feel the same way. Is he a guy that you can just stick in your lineup every single week and sleep like a baby? I don't think so. I think I probably would bench him in real tough matchups if I had an adequate backup. Certainly in Superflex, I can get behind going Derek Carr is a low-end QB1 or a high-end QB2 and putting him with the player drafted pretty close to him and feel pretty good. But I like Carr, and I think you're looking at a player here with Adams coming in. I mean, we talked about their familiarity. Two seasons at Fresno State. And you look at the numbers that happen when that, you know, Adams' numbers with Carr in college. It went through over 3,000 yards, 38 touchdowns. I mean, granted, that was Fresno State. That was 8 years ago. But you look at on this depth chart, it's not just Davante Adams. And that's why I like Carr. They just re-upped with Hunter Renfrow. I think you know, they did trade Bryan Edwards. That was sort of a bust. But let's not forget about Darren Waller. I know, James, like many, you were disappointed with having him on some of your high-stakes teams last year, but the guy's still the guy. The talent's still there. And with Adams in town, I think he'll get a little less attention from those defenders.
I think you're absolutely right with that. I think the one thing when you talked about Carr, I wish I'd like to see more touchdowns in a consistent year or from year to year, but he has been consistently playing every game too. That's another thing you can throw in there. The guy's very durable. So when you turn to him, he's there for you. Over 4,000 yards 4 years in a row. As for Waller, I agree with you. I mean, Darren Waller is a classic example, both in his lack of production last year and his chance to produce this year, why I don't think I'll be taking the aforementioned Travis Kelce, or why I'll be reaching for one of those very first tight ends, because I've been left wanting more oftentimes when I take tight end early. And now that Darren Waller has lost a little bit of his hype, he will probably be less guarded in this offense, right? Because he's got the big dog Davante Adams across from him. Not necessarily across, but depending on the lineup, but you get the idea. So I think Darren Waller now presents himself, if you want to take a tight end in that middle tier range after the first three big dogs are off the board, I think he presents a good value. He's exactly why I'll be waiting on tight end after the first four rounds. I really won't be taking tight end very frequently because of that, because he's there and some other players.
Well, the problem is, I mean, when you look at Waller, it's not a one season thing. I mean, the guy has never been a big touchdown maker. That's what the difference was him and Kelsey before, right?
He's a big PPR guy. Absolutely.
So your format's everything with him. And if you're in a PPR league, I think you can definitely take advantage. He is tight end five right now in best ball ADP data. I like Waller over Kittle myself. And a lot of that's because I'm concerned Absolutely. About Kittle's injury history. So I've got Waller fourth on my board. And I think all the risk and everything we're talking about is baked in that ADP. So, I mean, when I look at the problem is with Waller is how much of Adams is the guy that's taken over some. I mean, you just don't see, I don't see a path for him to get suddenly more red zone opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. Because Adams is so good at that anyway. Mm-hmm. So while Adams might take away attention, I do think he will be the guy inside. And then, of course, Hunter Renfrow, here's the probably the guy that I'll end up with the most shares of because he's going to go later than either of those guys. And I think he's another player, James, with PPR upside. I think Hunter Renfrow, if you get him as your wide receiver three in PPR, I'm feeling pretty good about that. You look at where he's going in the drafts right now. You know, he's fallen well into that range. He's at wide receiver 31 right now. So I like him over Adam Thielen, Gabe Davis, Rashad Bateman, Devontae Smith. These are all guys he's had clumped up with there in this ADP data. So I think that is the right spot for him. I would still probably not take him over some of these other players, you know, these Broncos receivers or, you know, the Brandon Cooks of the world and such. But Renfrow, the problem is he could end up being the third fiddle in this offense when you start breaking down the target distribution.
Before Adams got there, I think I had him in my top 20 at receiver because I figured the volume would be there. I mean, he was consistently used every 103 week
catches
last week.
Last year, 128 yeah. targets. I mean, with Adams' arrival, how much do the targets dip?
A little bit, but not a ton. Not a ton. Why would you go away from it? And I think this offense, look, again, I expect this offense to be putting up a lot of yards and a lot of points because I expect a lot of shootouts in the West. So I know that there's only 60 minutes in the game. There's only one football every play, but I expect growth from this offense, maybe even from another offense in this division we're going to talk about. So I think that there is going to be more to dole out. If Carr's throwing for more than 4,500 yards again, Adams can get 1,400 and Waller can get all those targets, and there's still plenty of room for Hunter Renfrow.
The team opted not to pick up the fifth-year option on Josh Jacobs, making him play in 2022 for a prove-it type of deal. It will be the final year of his rookie deal, and in 15 games last season, he carried 217 times, 872 yards, 9 touchdowns. He added 54 catches on 64 targets, which was a big upspike there for PPR owners, 348 yards receiving. Not a lot added here in the offseason. I mean, Brandon Bolden, Amir Dula coming in here behind Kenyon Drake. They drafted Zamir White. But Jacob's a guy that has been a volume play, James. He's got to get the touches to really deliver. But I still can confidently endorse him as a back-end RB2. And especially in this offense, I think, you know, you look at where he's getting drafted, especially if you address other positions early. This is not a bad building piece in those fourth round of your draft, especially if you can get him to go down to that spot.
Keep churning those running backs. That's what the NFL does. And you know what? Not re-signing him or not picking up the fifth-year option doesn't mean he's gone from Las Vegas. It simply means he'll be a free agent at the end of the year. That could say, hey, prove it to me now, and we'll put you on a bigger deal while you're still, 24 now, 25 by the time the season starts probably? 24. He'll be 24 throughout the season, so not an old guy still. And you know what that also means to me, as I've even alluded to with Harris in New England, hey, they'll just keep handing him the ball till the wheels fall off, and then he's not their problem at the end of this year. So I'm not super concerned because, if this was a, superstar kind of guy and they didn't pick up that fifth year, it'd be more concerning. But that doesn't bother me at all, and I think you're right. He's a volume play, and, again, it's a broken record, but there's going to be more yards and points in this division. Give me a running back and a back-end RB2. I think he's fine.
He finishes RB12 last year in PPR leagues, and that's despite missing a couple games. He's going to miss a couple games every season, like most running backs, but projecting out over 15 games, I mean, I think he's a pretty safe bet to get, you know, somewhere around 1,100, 1,200 yards, double-digit touchdowns, and that's about what you can expect. While I say I'll take him in round four, I will not target him, though. It's more of, you know, looking at the board, and you get in that range of running backs, and he's certainly a name I have a little more confidence in some of those other back-end RB2s, especially you get into some of these rookies. You don't know what roles they're going to be. And because he is playing for money, right? He has a chance to maybe get one more good deal if he has a blow-up season this year, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a lot online, and I like players that have a lot at stake on my fantasy teams. All right, any other final thoughts on the Raiders before we transition over to our next AFC West team?
Not really.
Let's talk about the Chargers. 9-8 a year ago, just missed the playoffs. We all remember that Week 18 game versus Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football, and the Chargers came up short in that contest, but it wasn't because of Justin Herbert. One of the most heroic, just outstanding football game. I mean, I was trying to go to sleep that night, laying in bed watching that game, James, and Herbert just, I mean, it was like he just kept getting punched and he kept coming back. And we've already talked about his QB2, all the accolades he's getting in these props. And count me in on Justin Herbert. He, you know, if we're talking quarterbacks I want on my fantasy team, he tops my list this year because I don't think we've even seen the best of him yet. I mean, Josh Allen, you're going to probably rank higher and rightfully so, but he's going a couple rounds earlier, right? And to me, I had a lot more opportunity to draft Justin Herbert in my best balls than I did Josh Allen. And the thing is like, I think the sky is still the limit. Again, he is the odds on favorite in Las Vegas right now over Mahomes, over Brady, over Burrow, over Josh Allen, over Matthew Stafford to win the passing yards title. So, and guess what? I think the offense got better. I think the team got better. And actually, I won't spoil the thunder for later, but I like a lot of the things the Chargers did this offseason, James. So I'm buying Justin Herbert and definitely think in Dynasty, I might even rank him as my top quarterback.
No problem with that. Tell me why he couldn't be QB1 this year. I mean, you just alluded to it with Allen kind of being where he is at his ceiling. I don't see any reason why he can't be QB1. You know, cue the broken record on the points and the yardages coming through this division. But he was clearly capable of leading team in shootouts last year over and over again. He's a very fun player to watch. So I'm completely with you when it comes to Justin Herbert.
Yeah, so hopefully we won't be in too many drafts together this season so I can get some shares. But if I go quarterback early, he'll be one of the guys I try to grab, that's for sure. Let's talk about the players he's throwing the football to, and that's part of the reason I like him. Because there are many, and we won't even get to Austin Eckler and the running backs just yet. Keenan Allen, still the team's top dog at receiver, and rightfully so, James. I mean, this guy has been a target machine, and again, format matters. I mean, I don't want to be redundant on all these guys. Keenan Allen, when I think, you know, PPR receiver, he definitely is a guy that pops to mind, though, and I still think he's one of the best value. I mean, this guy still doesn't get respect as he deserves. I mean, he's pretty much locked in, especially in PPR leagues, as a wide receiver one to me, but I seldom see get drafted in the top 10 at the position.
I have gotten him at the turn a couple of times, the 2-3 turn a couple of times, and it's not even a choice for me because it's crazy to say, but since the team went from San Diego to Los Angeles, he's missed like two games. He used to miss games. I used to say, oh, I don't want nothing to do with him. I can't trust him. He doesn't miss games now. He's had almost, it's not 150 targets a year, but it's almost that number. The average is close over the last 5 years. You're absolutely right. He's PPR. Just plug him in there. Look at all the double-digit target games he had last year. He had like 8 double-digit target games. And he comes down with the ball. He catches those balls. I mean, he's catching 100 balls a year too. So yeah, would you like to see more touchdowns? Yeah, that's not kind of, it's not his game. Just you can take it as it is. But the upside in PPR is still, I don't know, 10 points for a 10 catch game.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is Keenan Allen, I mean, there's not a lot. I don't feel like he draws quite as much attention from the, you know, he doesn't get doubled up as much and taken out of game plans like some other wide receiver ones. And it's the floor that we all go to. Mm-hmm. And we talk about it all the time with our quality starts and our Fantastics Draft Advisor tool, looking for those consistent receivers. And consistency is big. Plus, he still has some big games, too. I mean, you don't think of some of the explosive games that, you know, maybe some of these other wideouts have. But just last year alone in PPR league, I mean, he only broke 20 points once. So that's not very sexy. But he didn't have a single game he played. And actually, I'm looking at the wrong data there. He broke it twice. He only broke 20 points twice in PPR leagues. But James, only one game where he failed to get double-digit points.
Mm-hmm.
And often when you're setting your weekly lineup, I find more value in that.
I'm right there with you. I mean, he's a guy I've done a complete 180 on over the last 3 or 4 years. And I mean, again, it just comes down to the target volume. And if you expect Herbert to grow and become better, you think there's more to be seen there. I mean, I guess Mike Williams is going to catch some of those passes, as will tight ends and running backs. But Keenan Allen's going to catch more of those passes, too. I mean, who's he going to grow with? The best player on his receiving
corps. It is hard to believe Keenan Allen came in the league in 2013 and is now 30 years old, because that's making me feel old. It's like, dang, this dude's already 30. But dude, I guess he has been around for a while.
That's how it is.
Yeah,
he knocked Andy Dalton and friends out of the playoffs like it seems like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I guess he started with Phil Rivers throwing him the ball, too. But let's
maybe
talk
it's
about
the change from San Diego to LA. I don't know.
Let's
maybe
talk about Mike Williams, because, you know, here's another guy. You talk about a player that didn't get a fifth year option on him. He didn't, you know, a year ago, we were talking about the same thing with Josh Jacobs a minute ago. They didn't pick up the fifth year option. You know, a guy that gave him lots of reasons is like with his consistency. And that is still a problem. But he did get paid this offseason, reaching a 3-year, $60 million deal with the team. And that includes $40 million guaranteed. He's 27 years old. He's coming off a campaign where he caught 76 balls on 129 targets, 1,146 yards, 9 touchdowns in 6 games. With him and Allen back in the fold, it gives him a nice 1-2 punch. But, you know, as I look over at Mike Williams and I look at those game logs, James, I mean, he finished as wide receiver 14 last year and, you know, got it done. Again, it was a nice effort. But unlike Keenan Allen, we talked about the games under 10 points. How many out of those, unless you're looking, then forget about it. But
in I'm looking at statistics, but I know because I have him in the best
16
dynasty.
Games, how many times do you think he failed to hit double digits in PPR leagues?
8, I bet, at least.
7. Okay. 7 games under 10 points, but he had 2 games over 30.
Mm-hmm.
So he is definitely a guy that can win you some high weeks, but it could also lose you some weeks. And that is why he falls down my board a little bit. And I haven't done a re-rank of my big draft board since we started the Best Ball Frenzy in early May. I'll be working on one. But right now, loosely, I've got Mike Williams more outside my top 20. He's sitting right on the fringe of my top 20, but he's still a wide receiver too. But I view Keenan Allen more of a back-end wide receiver 1.
I think that's spot on. In fact, I might look at Mike Williams more as a wide receiver 3, a great upside guy you're happy to get at wide receiver 3.
Oh, dude, if he's my wide receiver 3, I'm tickled pink. I mean, it all goes back to Justin Herbert. I mean, that's mm-hmm. I mean, nothing against Mike Williams. I mean, he's a fine athlete, but it's my love for Herbert that really exemplifies my love for Williams. The Chargers... You know, go ahead.
I'm with you. It's the volatility with him.
Sure, sure. Josh Palmer is an interesting player to me. I do have some pretty good exposure to him in best ball, mainly because I was trying to grab Justin Herbert and I couldn't afford to pay the price on Mike Williams or Keenan Allen to get my combo there. But I mean, if Williams or Allen goes down, this guy's suddenly thrown into this offense with all these opportunities and the quarterback we love. So I mean, heck, James, I was getting him in like round 15, 16, and a couple. He started rising there at the end, round 13 or 14. But at any point of that part of that draft, that's the type of player I look for.
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, you're talking about teams with high upside when you're taking flyers on players then. I mean, if you're going to have a player sitting on your bench that might be worth something if somebody gets hurt, let me take that player in a high upside offense too. So I think that's the right combination there for a sleeper late.
What about the tight end situation here before we get over to that running game? I mean, Gerald Everett, third team in 3 years, didn't really work out in Seattle for the same reasons we like all these other guys that's there. You got Donald Parham. Really nothing else of mention here. So I mean, in two tight end leagues, sure. In these super flexes where we're drafting two, or not super flexes, but these best balls where we're drafting two, maybe three tight ends in some cases. I mean, Everett's in play for me, but he's mostly just a mid-range tight end here. I don't think it's anything to target or write home about there.
Same.
Let's talk about Austin Eckler. And I mean, you could, James, make an argument that after Jonathan Taylor, he should be the second pick on the board. I don't think any of us would disagree that he doesn't deserve to be in the top 10 picks in any format.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, he really showed up again and last year, and this offense just had some massive performances, and he was able to, for the most part, stay on the field last year. And when you get a running back in an offense like that that stays on the field, you get a whole lot done. And he was able to do way more on the ground last year. His target number was huge, too. I mean, look, 70 catches to go along with 200 rushes. That's awesome. But not only was it the great PPR performance, it was the fact that he found the end zone and was way more effective as a running back as opposed to a receiving back. I worry about all that wear and tear, but I guess that's kind of just a natural worry about all running backs.
Yeah. Well, they drafted Isaiah Spiller to be their latest complimentary back. And of the ones they've had, you know, the Larry Roundtrees and the Josh Kellys, Justin Jackson, he's out of the picture. So I think Spiller comes in. He was a fourth round pick in season long. I guess you can make a play at Spiller. I think he's being overdrafted a little bit, but he will have a role. I do think Eckler, I mean, last year, I've been a critic of him for his inability to stay healthy and his lack of touchdown upside. And man, he really answered the call in both things last year, asserting himself. He becoming one of the best red zone specialists in the NFL. And
it's funny.
I mean, he's a fifth-year running back. He can get it done as a receiver. He's in this offense. He can stay healthy. But I don't know. I mean, I look at all those first-round running backs, and they all got risk, just about every one of them. So Eckler's still one of my favorites. I've got him as my third-ranked running back. I'm taking a little bit more risk. I mean, if I'm taking just flat-out ranking and projection, I still think McCaffrey, though the risk is much higher. If healthy, if both players are healthy, I'll still take McCaffrey over Eckler. But Eckler's my RB3, and I think he should be one of the first six picks in any non-Superflex draft.
I like Najee Harris better than both of them, but I think what we're getting into
he's is right
like
there
where I like picking fourth or fifth. Give me one of those guys or maybe even a receiver. That's why if I don't have the one pick, which I'm not even sure I want the one pick, but if I don't, you know, if I'm picking early in draft, I kind of want 3, 4, 5, and I'll take what's left out of the rest of them, because I think, look, okay, we have to rank them somewhere. And if you get the two pick, you have to make that choice. But I'd prefer not to.
Yeah. Let's get to the final team here in this division to talk about the Denver Broncos. And finished last place last year at 7-10. They'll be battling to stay out of it this year. And unlike last year, they actually have a quarterback to do it. They acquired Russell Wilson, the much heralded trade we all talked about. Noah Fant, Drew Lock, and some draft capital going over there. And Wilson comes under center here to join an offense that features Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, three big receivers. They still got the KJ Hamler pick from a year ago that is developing there, and a pretty solid group of young tight ends as well to put with it. So Wilson comes into a situation here where not only does he have better weapons overall than he had in Seattle, not that he had bad weapons, but he's got a coach that isn't just convinced to run the football 200 times a game, James, and that's going to also make an impact.
Yeah, should be fun to see what Russell Wilson does with this offense. I think it's going to be interesting as we watch the OTAs and the preseason workouts and mini camp and training camp and preseason football play out. Is one of these receivers emerging as his favorite, or will he have a favorite of the, you know, I mean, I guess we're assuming it's Sutton and Jeudy as the 1-2. Will one of them emerge as the one?
Yeah. Which one would you draft first right now? And we'll just say a half point PPR.
Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think the additional, I don't know what's going on with this offseason, off the field stuff here with Jeudy, but looks like the Chargers are going to get dropped. Maybe he gets a suspension of a game or two. It's something we'll have to monitor. But I'm with you. I think Sutton has a little bit more upside. Jeudy probably more of getting regular targets. Tim Patrick, a really nice sleeper here. And I've heard and read that early on here, a guy that Russell Wilson's really excited about as well. The tight end situation, Albert O, looking like he's going to finally get his chance to be the guy. They did draft a couple youngsters, including Greg Dolich, who long-term we could expect to see become quite a factor. But what are you doing with Albert O? I mean, I've seen people have him all over the board in their rankings. I mean, literally, you can see him ranked anywhere from 10 to 20 in tight end drafts. I'm looking at the ADP, and I mean, he's a guy that it's funny to see the range of tight ends in general, how far and low they go. But tight end 18, James, right behind Noah Fant, the guy he's replacing now as the starter as Fant moves on to Seattle. Again, not a guy you're going to target as your starting tight end, but I think a pretty good solid tight end too on even leagues where you just have a little depth, not even a premium on the position.
I don't have him anywhere, but as excited as I am, and I know other people are too, about Greg Dulcich, it's because we've seen Russ have a nice relationship with tight ends in the past. So I guess we'd be blind to not at least take a peek at Albert O. I should probably be more interested in him than I am. Maybe it's because I really like that foursome at receiver and the two running backs I'm very fond of as well. So maybe I'm worried about his place in the offense. And look, guys that are being drafted ahead of him, I do like better. But Noah Fant doesn't have a quarterback thrown to him. Like, I'm not sure maybe that I should like Fant better. We saw how that worked out last year, didn't we? Is it going to be the same quarterback? I don't know. If it's not, is it any better? I don't know. So, yeah, I think he should be more on my radar than he is, but I've just kind of planted my flag on I'm taking Dulcich in these rookie drafts, and so I'm out. But in redraft, Albert O probably should be higher on my board than he is, but he's still just a mid-range tight end too to me.
Let's move over to those running backs, and definitely a nice duo here. Javonte Williams, second year back, paired with veteran Melvin Gordon in the backfield. Gordon was a little slow to sign with the team, but did finally reach a one-year deal, which he didn't actually have a lot of other interest out there, according to the market. But these two had a nice fit, a 50-50 split a year ago, both players logging 203 carries exactly. So that's funny. That is pretty interesting. There should be enough touches for the two, I think, to both remain fantasy relevant. But, James, I mean, Gordon is getting a year older here now. The rookie gloves that Williams was wearing early in the season, I don't think it's going to be the 50-50 split this year. In fact, I would bet heavily against it. I'm expecting 60-40 at best for Gordon. So I think he still has some bench options. But Javonte Williams is a guy I'm still ranking as a top 10 running back because guess what? He passes the eyeball test. It's a difference between reading stats and actually watching games. The elusive rating, PFF's elusive rating, I mean, he's put up epic numbers in college and he backed him up in his first year as a pro. So he's the better guy moving forward. And I think as the team's trust in him grows, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. So Gordon, still a nice guy to have. I'm he's dropping in drafts to ridiculously low. So I still have plenty of shares and a percentage of ownership on rosters of Melvin Gordon. But for those expecting to get Melvin Gordon as a cheap RB2 like he was a year ago, I think they're going to be left a little disappointed.
Yeah. Melvin Gordon's not an RB2. He's the RB2 on his team. He's not an RB2 in fantasy.
He was last year. That's the point.
Sure. No, I understand that. And I'm with you. I mean, I've been taking Melvin Gordon plenty as an RB3 if I've waited around, or a 4. I think the story here is Javonte Williams would have been in that mix with the Austin Eckler, Najee Harris group, and he's not because Gordon came back. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't finish there, and it doesn't mean that we're not talking about him as just that type of player come a season from now when Gordon's gone. Mm-hmm. But Gordon, I do think, still is a player with massive bye weeks.
Oh, heck yeah. Plus, he got 18-week season now, 17 games. I mean, Melvin Gordon is a tremendous asset for the Denver Broncos. And if they are, or any playoff team, you want to keep guys fresh too. And I think that's part of it. So, I mean, I know, especially a lot of Javonte Williams dynasty owners were a little bummed when he came back, but
sure,
I don't think it's all that bad of a thing. I mean, it is pretty interesting, as I said, both with 203 carries. Gordon had 15 more yards and 4 more touchdowns. Williams struggled a little bit early in the season at the goal line, so can he take a step forward there this year? The biggest difference a year ago was the 14 more targets that Williams had. And, didn't lead to as many catches as you would hope. He did have 15 more catches and 100 more receiving yards than Gordon. I expect him to have more of a role in that regard as well. But it will be interesting. Again, Javonte Williams is now no longer going in round one in too many drafts. You see him go there every now and then. And if I can get him in round two, I'll take my chances there, especially as the round goes on and on. So that does wrap up our discussion on these four teams. And quickly looking at just some props here, James, you know, not getting too much into the player props. We'll do that a little bit later in the year. But I did want to get into some of the futures on just the division as a whole here. And I, you know, as we look at to win the AFC West, that is the one that I did want to end the podcast with. So the Chiefs, they are currently favorite plus 160, the Chargers plus 240, the Broncos plus 280, the Raiders plus 600. So some pretty interesting odds there. If we have to bet, and we do have to bet on this, I'm going to go with the Chargers because I like them to win anyway. I think they've done a lot. We didn't get to talk about all their defensive additions in the offseason, but they really patched up some things there. We've already talked about our love for Herbert. I don't know. I think all these teams are good. Probably two or three of them get into the playoffs. They're that good. But I think the Chargers are the best of the bunch. And the fact I'm getting plus 240 over plus 160 for the Chiefs, I'll definitely like the Chargers more than the Broncos. The Raiders are tempting at plus 600, but I would agree that if I was ranking one through four, they would be my fourth ranked team here.
I think of games that I went to at the end of the year. The Bengals beat the Chiefs. They beat the Raiders. They got embarrassed by the Chargers. I know that's just one team and one opponent, but that's the reigning AFC champions too, by the way. So you make a lot of points. I'm thinking I'm biased because of what I saw there. I'd be hard pressed to be honest with you. I'm staying away from this. I know you said I have to bet. So in this instance, I will. I'm dumb enough to take the Raiders because they're plus 600 in a four-team division, and they were a playoff team last year. So you're giving me a playoff team who added Davante Adams, and they're going to be 6-1 in a four-team division?
I'm just dumb. I knew you would take the Raiders just based off the odds.
Yeah, this is how I roll.
Fair enough. We'll mark them down. We'll keep track of it for you. We'll be talking more props throughout the offseason all summer long here on the podcast, where you can subscribe again to the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast at Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you listen. Of course, hit him on Twitter at JamesAdams94, me at Dan Claskins, and follow at Fantastics. James, it's been a lot of fun, man. Just our first one down. We do our next one next week. We're going to talk about the NFC North. So we started with the best one. It's all downhill from here. But I imagine we could still squeeze 40 minutes out of the Packers, Vikings, Bears, and Lions.
There's some things I'm interested in those divisions, to be certain. There's interesting things in every division, but this one was a good one to get started with.
All right. Until next time, for James Adams, I'm Dan Claskins. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast.